minutes.
Oh,
hey, Barbara, do you know anybody in corporate? I can call
you
New
just
York.
You don't have any web connection at all? Just no internet?
I have no cell service on my personal phone at all. Oh. Nothing. So I don't know what the story is. Anywhere I go. This just happened about an hour ago. So
did you shut the whole thing down?
You know what? I'm going to try that one more time.
I'd shut it down for a while.
Dave, I just sent Mike a text.
Yeah.
And told him we're starting the meeting, so hopefully he'll get on pretty soon.
All right, tell you what I do. I can start. Let me turn my phone off. See, Dave Halpin doesn't have any hair.
True. I had a full head of hair before we had an internet.
I had hair before I joined the water district.
There you go.
You want to get started, guys? Kelly, are you with us? Nope, Kelly's not with us.
Yes, I'm here.
Oh. Kelly.
I haven't heard back from Mike on the text, so he might be on a call. Yeah.
All right. Sorry, guys, again. Hang on a minute.
Director Saunders is now on the call.
Mike.
He's muted himself. Director Saunders is on the call and he's unmuted.
Good morning, Mike, or good afternoon, Mike. Hello, Mike.
Hey, Dave.
Hey, Mike, I'm having difficulties with my Verizon cell service. I don't have any cell service anywhere. So I'm on line with Verizon. Can you start the meeting? Do you mind? Thank you. Anytime you're ready, Mike. are we waiting for? Mike,
you Director online? Saunders, I don't know if you heard Director Souza. He would like you to start the meeting.
Okay, no problem. Alrighty, let me get the agenda. Okay. It is now 2:07, and we will open the meeting for the Georgetown Divide Public Utility District. We will now call to order. We'll do a roll call. President Souza.
Aye. Here.
Director Garcia?
Here.
Director Halpin? We didn't hear you, Dave?
Here.
Thank you. Director Wadley?
Here.
And this is Vice President Saunders present. If Director Garcia can lead us with the Pledge of Allegiance.
Be glad to. Thank you. We all stand, remove our hats, and across your heart. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you.
Thank you. Let me,
switch my background back. Yeah. All right. Is there an adoption of the agenda? Does anybody have any items they would wish to pull?
Not the agenda. I'll move the adoption of the agenda.
I'll second that.
Adoption adopted by Director Wadley, seconded by Director Garcia. Can we have a roll call vote? Director Souza?
Aye.
Director Garcia?
Aye.
Director Wadley?
Aye.
Director Halpin?
Aye.
And Director Saunders? Aye. The agenda is adopted. All right, we will go to public forum. We will only be dealing with items that are not on the agenda. So Kelly, if you could let us know who has their hands raised. And
as of right now, no one has their hands raised.
All right.
There, Tony, okay, hold on. Okay. Tony, what's your name? Is it just Tony?
Tony Franco, F-R-A-N-C-O.
Thank you.
Okay, Mr. Franco, go ahead.
Basically I want to bring up an issue that I've been kind of doing a little investigative work on over the last couple of years. Essentially, I'm kind of new on the Hill. I bought my first property up there about 4 years ago. And it runs, basically the Georgetown Creek runs through the property, and on that same property, a very little known creek, actually most people even up on the Hill don't even know about it, a creek called Poverty Creek runs into Georgetown Creek and merges with it on my property. And it then flows down and turns into, you know, Greenwood Creek, as we all know, and then ends up in the South Fork. What I found out in 2018 was that there was some gunite ditch lining being worked on. All of a sudden, the Georgetown Creek just completely ran dry within a day and a half or so. And I was trying to figure out what was going on. There are fish in the creek. I've documented it. I've basically taken videos for those who don't feel that there are actually live fish in Georgetown Creek. There actually are. And essentially what's going on is the Georgetown Creek is fed by the quote unquote seepage or leakage of the drainage ditch. The drainage ditch basically, I've had the Water Rights Board guys come out. I've had a geologist come out, and basically both reports, which I actually sent to Kelly Malloy earlier this morning, or actually yesterday, basically for it to be a part of public record. Both of their reports clearly state that the seepage actually does feed Georgetown Creek. The recent lining of Georgetown Creek, which was a stretch kind of west of Marval supermarket, that stretch that was done just this last, I think it was done roughly this last November of 2019, that stretch basically was the final nail in the coffin for Georgetown Creek, as the year-round creek literally does not flow anymore. The only thing that is running that feeds into Georgetown Creek on my property is Poverty Creek. And the reason why Poverty Creek is still lining the only reason why Poverty Creek is still running is because my assumption is that the gunite has not reached, the gunite work hasn't reached the part where Poverty Creek is basically being fed. So long story short, basically the CEQA paperwork that was filed by GPUD was not done accurately. It basically was not a thorough job at all. It did not state anything regarding Georgetown Creek being basically being reliant upon a ditch that has been basically feeding Georgetown Creek for over 100 years since the miners made the ditch. And I'm not that new guy that's up on the hill that wants to rattle cages or change anything. I want to build a home and raise my daughter up there because I like the way it is right now, except for that big change, which was the gunniting of the ditch, which then basically stopped the flow of into Georgetown Creek. Numerous neighbors of mine basically have been up on the hill for my neighbor up creek. His father owned the property, so he's been up there for over 60 years, and he's never seen the creek run dry until just now. And that is totally due to the gunniting of the ditch. So essentially, if you're a hunter out there and you care about wildlife, if you care about being able to hunt, this is kind of a game changer. When you don't have a natural flowing source of water that's been flowing for over 100 years, for it to all of a sudden stop within basically days, that's going to have a pretty big environmental impact. It's going to have a huge impact on hunting and the wildlife that depends on this creek flowing. So again, I emailed Kelly Malloy with the documents I would like to be a part of public record, which again state the obvious, which I finally figured out essentially what was going on. And this all started, like I said, back in November 2018. And then just more recently, the big nail in the coffin was that last stretch that was just gunited. So what I'm requesting is a little bit more investigative work done on the behalf of GPUD in order to figure out how we can get a creek that's basically been reliant on that ditch for over 100 years to continue flowing. Also part of that that public record, very clearly, there was some Facebook post by some guy up there, and I have the documentation on that, as far as some individual stating that myself and a couple directors were trespassing, which was a complete fabrication, a complete and total lie. And the email clearly shows the timestamp of when I actually reached out to the property owner and the text messages that were going back and forth. So there was clearly no trespassing there. So I just wanted to clear the air on that. I don't want my name to be soiled with some individual throwing out a bunch of lies. So that's kind of all I have in a nutshell. I'm trying to obviously keep it to my 3 minutes. So hopefully I've done that and kind of stated what I would like to be done. And I think a lot more work needs to be done in the future. So I appreciate your time. And hopefully I kind of got my point across. Hopefully I wasn't fumbling all over myself right here. So yep. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Franco.
Thank you.
Kelly, did you receive those documents?
I did receive the documents.
Okay, so we will get those added to the record for you. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Anyone else that has public comments? Okay.
There are no other hands up.
Okay, seeing no other public comments, we'll move forward. We have the consent calendar. Is there any items that any of the directors would like pulled?
I have an item I'd like to pull.
Okay.
Just a minor change on item 5A3, please.
Any other items? I have 5B1 for myself. Anyone else have any items? Okay, so we will vote to approve the consent calendar with items 5A, 1, 2, and 4, 5B2, 5C.
So moved.
Is there a second?
I'll second that.
Moved by Director Wadley, seconded by Director Garcia. Roll call vote. Director Wadley?
Aye.
Director Garcia?
Aye.
Director Halpin?
Aye.
Director Souza? Looks like he's predisposed. And Director Saunders? Aye. So that vote goes. See a little arm there for O in favor of the consent calendar. We'll start with your item 5A3, Director Wadley.
Thank you. Sorry, I was just lost my spot here. Never fails. It was just I talked with the general manager about this. It's on page
16.
I think it's where you're. Yes, page 16, top of page 16, just missing a word. It should say the motion passed.
Okay.
That's all. Thank you.
Did you want those to come back, or are you going to accept the change? I
would make a motion to accept them as with that change.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, I talked to Kelly about the change, so she may have already have made it.
Yep, and I agree that. So we'll just make a motion to accept the item 5A3 with the changes made to be accepted as is. Can I get it?
So moved.
I'll second that motion.
Perfect. Yeah, great.
All right, roll call, Director Wadley.
Aye.
Director Halpin.
Aye.
Director Garcia.
Aye.
Director Souza. Director Souza is still indisposed. And Director Saunders, aye. And item 5B1 is Christine here, Jeff? If not, I'll just bring that back before. It was just on that, the 26,000, the negative 26,000 for the capital replacement funds. I know we were negative for a while.
I'm here. Now you're talking about Fund 24.
Yes.
That's actually specified for ALT. Okay. And that Fund 24 is for, we had Fund 20 was for the loan. 24 and 35 were both used also to pay for the retrofit. Okay. So as I stated in my email, it's something that after year end happens, the board's going to have to choose how to true that up.
Yep. All right. Thank you. Yeah, I just didn't know which account that was for. Okay. Thank you very much. Thank you, Christina. And thanks to Jeff and Christina both for answering. I had a bunch of questions before, so we didn't have to go through during this time over it. So thank you very much. All
You're
right.
Welcome.
So Do we have a motion to approve 5B1 with the consent calendar?
I'll make that motion.
Okay, then I'll second it.
A motion by Director Halpin, second by Director Garcia. Roll call vote, Director Halpin.
Aye.
Director Garcia.
Aye.
Director Wadley.
Aye.
Director Souza. He continues to be predisposed, and Director Saunders, aye. All right. Moving on to informational item, agenda item 6A, board director report. Director Wadley.
The only things I would add, just kind of a follow-up to last meeting, is I know the district submitted a support letter for HR 7073 that we touched on last week. You know, sent to all the directors and made public. It was also sent obviously to our federal representative and our U.S. senators. And then I was just the discussion at we had a El Dorado County Water Agency meeting last week that was relatively straightforward, nothing of significant consequence on there, just approving some contracts for the agency. I did inform the entire agency board about our budget adoption, and particularly the inclusion of the use of the SMUD money for the gunning purchase and the et cetera, and just reiterated our appreciation with the county for that partnership to, you know, make that revenue source available to us, and that we were, you know, putting the money to use per the agreement that we have with the county. So that's all I have. Thank you.
Thank you, Director Wadley. Director Garcia.
Thank you. Just a couple of items. First of all, I want to give a big shout out to Jeff Nelson. There have been a number of customers that have reached out to me recently, and I forwarded some information on to Jeff, and Jeff's done a tremendous effort to try to reach out to each and every one of these customers, specifically three of them, including Mr. Franco, we just heard from. So thank you, Jeff, for making a tremendous effort. I also want to commend Jeff, too, for being so responsive to our emails. I've had several emails into him lately for some a PRA request and questions to him, and I appreciate him getting back to me. If I had a question, for example, on a refill agreement, I was able to get the information from Jeff, and I asked Jeff to provide the directors the link to that agreement, and him assure that he's working on. So thank you, Jeff. You've been very responsive, and I really appreciate your outreach. A couple of reminders. We've got the workshop coming up that Mike and I will be attending. That is the ACWA, got too many acronyms here in front of me. ACWA, a summer virtual conference that's coming up the 29th and 30th of July, we'll be attending. And Jeff, I don't know if you've received the check yet, but we can still follow up with each other on the reimbursement for the difference between attending in person and attending virtually to Director Saunders and I. Another issue that Jeff's been responsive in helping us with. I attended a couple of workshops online. They were in webinar format that RCAC put on. One was covering septic systems and the operation of septic systems. The other was private wells. Both excellent workshops and free, so it's very well use of time spent taking these webinars when there's free training available. I also participated in the water transfer workshop. I thought staff did a good job on that. I wish I would have spent a little more time addressing some of the questions at the end, but we can follow up with staff on those at a later time. I just have one last question, and actually, Barbara, that is for you. In one of the emails, I requested some information, and I was told that there would be some redactions that might take place. And I'm just wondering, why would there be redactions to the board treasurer for redactions on a request for financial documents? Answer to that. That's all I have, Director Saunders.
Yeah. Director Garcia, the answer is that you're seeking the records under the Public Record Act request, correct?
Yes, that's correct.
And so that makes them public. Once they're handed to you under that circumstance, they're public documents. So any information that can't be public has to be redacted.
I see. Okay, thank you for explaining that, because I had to go to PRA request because I'd requested these and I hadn't received them in an ample amount of time. So I went to the PRA request. So if they have to be redacted, they have to be redacted, but I'd still like to see and receive the information so I can work again with Jeff on those.
Okay.
That's all I have.
Director Halpin?
Nothing for me.
Looks like Director Souza is still predisposed. Director Garcia mentioned similar workshops that were at the RCAC one for the septic treatment and wells and the Aqua Conference. So the one that was going to be in Monterey will now be virtual, and that's going to be at the end of the month. And I will also be attending the water loss conference for water conservation. So I'm pretty sure Adam may be at that one as well. And once we get that information, we should be able to start working on the urban water management plan for the district coming up in August. So we should have a lot of material and a bunch of new guidelines to help with giving recommendations for the staff on moving forward with that. And that's all I had. Moving on to item 6B, General Manager's Report.
Thank you, Director Saunders. Let's see. As in my report, the consumer confidence report went out on schedule or ahead of schedule. I want to thank Adam for putting that together. Temporary water transfer. I was on a conference call yesterday with Jeff Meyer, our hydrologist sub-consultant, and the representatives from the Fish and Wildlife Service and the Department of Fish and Wildlife State. And they had a few questions about our petition for the water transfer. And we seem to have answered all of them. They did ask for a survey at two locations to check for the yellow-legged frog, which it's at just upstream of the confluence of Rubicon Creek and Pilot Creek. It's a very inaccessible area, so we're not sure if we're going to be able to get that done. Let's see. You know about the tank. Oh, the ditch repair inquiry. I did speak with Mr. Franco for about half an hour. That ditch, the irrigation ditch is, we stop irrigating water after, is it September 1st or October 1st, Daryl? So usually that ditch, September 30th. So there's not a lot of water running through it after September 30th. The repair of the ditch did result in a savings of 600 acre feet of water is what Adam calculated. So it did result in a significant savings of water for the district. I will look more into the information that Mr. Franco provided, but right now, as you all probably know, repairing the ditch is something that is required by the state as part of our water conservation measures. We did have a staff resignation. We do have an excellent temporary employee right now who's filling in. COVID-19, we are kind of backtracking a little bit and kind of reenacting some of the measures that we relaxed. So it's unfortunate, but it just seems to be the prudent thing to do. I did want to bring up the Georgetown Gazette article that was an opinion article by Director Garcia. And I did talk to you a little bit about this, Director Garcia. Some of the things that are stated in here were not true, and I just wanted to clarify. And one of the things you said is, for I do know the interim general manager hired an outside consultant to help investigate the district's internal fund transfers and then informed the board after the fact that's not true. I utilized Eddie Bailey And then Eddie Bailey's been working for the district for a couple of years. And in fact, the board unanimously agreed to extend their contract during the March 16th board meeting. You had another comment about the water transfer and why weren't the funds included. You know, I explained that before, I think more than once, and that the water, we haven't received the permits yet for the water transfer, so it's not a done deal. And we may not be able to transfer all 2,000 feet of water if the permits are approved. So just wanted to clarify that for the record. I know you did mention that you were going to apologize to me, so I appreciate that. And we're still working on the reserve fund verifications by Eddie Bailey, and we're hoping to have that completed by the middle of next week. So that's my report. Any questions?
If I could, this is Director Halpin. If I can make a comment on Jeff's report. I too noticed Cindy's comments in the newspaper, and I noticed in there she was concerned that $1.1 million seems to have gone missing. She wasn't just sure what was going on. And that's alarming that our treasurer is not sure where that $1.1 million may have gotten to. Certainly I would, if you, as a previous treasurer, along with Mike Saunders and Dane, if you reach out to any of us, we'd be glad to help you to understand where that money might be. And I can assure you, it has not gone missing.
Jeff, I have a couple of questions for you on report.
Okay.
The $40,000 for the water transfer that we've received, can you tell me what fund that's going into?
We created a separate account for that. Christina, can you explain that? We're trying to track all those costs separately.
It's going back into Fund 43 where it was paid out from.
Sorry. Okay, thank you.
I guess this is Director Halpin again. And again, I guess I would direct this to Cindy. As our treasurer, you were unanimously voted on by us to, you know, be the treasurer to look after our funds. And we would look to you to have those answers, not to be asking staff or submitting articles to the local newspaper, wondering what's going on. I think it's your responsibility as the treasurer to have those answers and report that back to the board and to the community and to assure us that the funds that you're responsible as the treasurer are managed appropriately. And again, if you have any trouble understanding these financial documents or a concern for one moment that $1.1 million or $40,000 or $700,000 have not been accounted properly, please, I encourage you to reach out to your colleagues and as opposed to the newspaper, and we'll get these answers to you immediately.
Thank you, Director Halpin. I appreciate your comments. Jeff, I have a couple more questions for you. The Stubby Meadows valve that's mentioned in one of the other reports, is that going to be added to your CIP as a project?
I don't know yet. We're still, and I'm going to ask Daryl to weigh in in a minute, but you know, we're still evaluating the potential problem, and we decided that because of it could be a significant fix, we wanted to get a second opinion. So that was Daryl's idea, and I thought that was a very prudent move. So I don't know where we're at with that, Daryl.
No, I agree with what you're saying. It sounds like it's not going to be a cheap fix. It probably will be added to CIP once we get a better idea of the cost and where we're going with it.
Okay, great. Thank you, Daryl. Thank you, Jeff. Just a couple more questions. Would you, Jeff, take a moment to expand on the collaborative work that you're doing with the El Dorado County Water Agency in regards to how they might help us with the phased approach for the improvement plan projects?
Well, initially what we're doing is they have some money in their budget, $50,000 for that's earmarked for Georgetown Divide Public Utilities District to assist us on getting either grant funding or assisting us directly in some of the projects that we have. So when we get to the, one of the things I'm going to do is I'm going to provide them with our capital improvement program once we have that sorted out. And we've talked about a couple of projects that we think that that money could be used for. As far as this phased approach, you know, we haven't had our first kickoff call on that. That's a new concept that was just introduced to me by Ken Payne.
Okay, great. Thank you. That's helpful. And then one last question.
Hold on a second there, Cindy. I think Director Wildley had something to add to that as well.
I know Jeff knows this, is that just for everyone's edification, that there's through the Agency Act, there's only certain things that they can help districts with. So they can't actually provide funding for like actual construction of a project. So it's kind of planning aspects and kind of preliminary type work. So because I've asked this question a couple of times, but the Agency Act that set up the agency back in the 50s prohibits direct financial support to another district for construction of a project. So I just wanted to make that.
Thank you, Dan. And also, before we leave with EDCLA, I also had a question on that as well. I know they have their regional watershed management plan. So will they also tie in with how our plan works with that as well?
I believe.
Go ahead.
As far as I know, they're doing, I know one of the projects they have like kind of a regional assessment that's slated to include impacts to Georgetown that we're supposed to be a part of their regional study, if I understand your question correctly.
Yeah. All right. Yep. Thank you.
Okay. So. And Jeff, just one last question. I guess it's wrapped up kind of in a request. Is it possible to have staff, maybe Adam, take a look at the Delta outflows and the Bureau's management of Folsom Lake to find out when was the last time, speaking in the year, maybe like, for example, 2014, when the Delta was in excess and Folsom Lake was in flood stage? Because that's going to be, I think, one of the questions that we might have when we take a look at the refill agreement to see what our long-term obligations might be to that temporary water transfer.
I can get you that answer. It was either last year or the year before. I'm not sure if it was last year, but certainly 2 years ago it was. But I will confirm that.
Okay, great. Thank you. Okay,
Jeff, and then it happens 2 out of 3 years, typically.
And again, just for my clarification, Jeff, this refill agreement, these conditions have to be met together, correct? This is an and statement, not an or statement. It's when the Delta is in excess and Folsom is in flood stage?
Correct.
Okay.
Like I said, Jeff Myers says that it happens 2 out of 3 years.
Okay, great. And finally, I do want to publicly apologize to you for jumping to a conclusion that you had hired an outside contractor. I didn't understand that to us was from Edie Bailey. So I do apologize for that. And I do appreciate the fact that Jeff, you and I are going back and forth with the necessary communication that has to be done in order to get me the answers to the questions I have about these financial documents. That it has gone to a PRA request because I've talked to you a couple of times. I haven't received the information. So to address Director Halpin's issues, you and I are working on things, and it is taking a little longer than I expected, and I'm having to go to extra steps to ask for this financial information to put two and two together to find out where the money is, and it was missing in my calculations. It doesn't mean it's missing from the documents. When I use the word matching or not matching rather than missing, those are the documents I showed you, Jeff, that we're working on to try to answer those kind of questions. And I'll reiterate again on the public meeting that I told Jeff when we were up signing checks together that I'm not saying that the money is missing. What I'm saying is it's missing from my calculations based on the audit information and prior fiscal years information based on this year's budget. So not that it's missing, it's just that they don't match. The numbers don't match up, and Jeff is helping me to determine why they don't match up. So again, I'll be working with Jeff to continue on that and to see if I can get the information, and then I can see if I can find the answers to the questions that I have. So that's all I have.
All right, well, thank you for your apology. And staff has been trying to get you information. I just think sometimes we're a little confused about what it is exactly you're asking for. And I think we'll get there soon.
Thank you. Jeff, if they have questions and need clarifying information, yeah, let's definitely work together on that too. And we'll see if we can get their confusion cleared up or my confusion cleared up. So thank you. Thanks for your support.
Thank you. Director Souza, did you have any questions for the general manager?
No, I am sorry. I just got off the phone with Verizon. So go ahead, Mike. Do another one for me.
Yep. And I didn't have any questions. Does the public have any questions for the general manager? All right. Seeing none, we can move to the next item, which is item 6C, Operation Manager's Report. Darren?
Yes. Everything's going pretty smooth with the both treatment plants. Of course, the new treatment plant, we're still working out bugs, seems like daily, but our operators are doing a great job of keeping the water flowing. Stumpy Meadows is, as of, I believe, last Wednesday, was at 96% full still, which is good for this time of year. Our distribution crew has been very busy. Our treated water distribution, they had 18 after-hours calls last month, repaired 10 leaks. So they've been on it, and they're still on it even today. I saw them out there digging in the street. I've been continuing to work with Coastland for CIP repairs, such as the Walton filter. That project is out to bid. We have the bids. I'm working with Coastland right now on picking one of the bidders so that we can bring that to the board. The Spanish dry diggings tank is complete and online. We did the notice of completion today, and it's been online for a few weeks now, working great. And the only thing else I'd like to just kind of bring up, I didn't want to make it an agenda item. I just wanted to bring it up that we're really having problems at Greenwood Lake, one of our reservoirs, with the public dumping trash there. There's been an RV dumped out there. People have called in literally yelling at me saying how terrible I am and we're terrible. They're ashamed of the district. We didn't dump it there and we don't want it there. The sheriff was called out. They tagged it. We cannot have vehicles towed when the sheriffs tag them until the sheriff releases it to the tow companies. There's nothing we can do about it to get it out of there except cleaning up the mess. But here's what I want to bring to the board. I talked to a homeowner that has lived out past that lake. He drives through our property every day to get home. And I would like to propose putting a gate up at the beginning, not fencing the whole property if somebody wants to walk in and fish or something, but just making it so people can't just drive in there to dump RVs and trash. And I don't know if it needs to be a board agenda item next month or what. I just wanted to bring it up to everybody and let you know it's getting worse. Actually, all last summer and so far this year, once people have been living out there next to the lake. And last summer I got called because they were having campfires out there by the lake, living there in the middle of summer. So there's been a lot going on. We need to start really thinking about it. It's a big piece of property. I'm not sure how to fence the whole thing. You know, there's 2 40-acre parcels right there. But I just want to bring it to your attention that these are some of the issues that we're having out there right now. And as far as this report, that's about it.
Hey, Jeff. Dave Souza here.
Yes, Dave.
If you don't mind, I will get with Daryl. I know somebody that is in charge of abatement with the sheriff's office, and I can get this thing rolling real fast.
That would be great.
I didn't know there was a motor home out there. So when we get off this call, I'll call somebody from the office, sheriff's office, and I'll take care of it.
That's great. Thank you.
This is Director Halpin. I have a question, to Daryl and Jeff. Given the magnitude of the effort to put up a gate, does this really raise to the level of a board decision, or is this well within the range of the general manager's authority to put up a gate in his spending authority?
It's certainly within my spending authority. It's just a question of, does the board want to weigh in on access to the property or not, restricting the access? And I would recommend that we put up the gate. So
I would support your recommendation, and if you have the spending authority to do so, you can report back to us that you chose to proceed in the best interest of the district. And I don't think it really requires a board action, would be my thought.
No, just deal with it, Jeff. Just deal with it.
Yeah. It might not be a cheap gate just because this homeowner drives to our property.
Yeah, Daryl, we don't want a cheap gate.
All right.
As long as it's within his spending authority, we want a really good gate.
Sounds good.
$220 on it, too.
The only thing I could see about having it as an agenda item may not be so much for us going forward with saying we like it, because I believe we all do. Also, to put out as a public service announcement that, hey, people, we are dumping in the lake and this is our reservoir and we shouldn't be doing this. So that's the only reason I would add it as a board item as well, just so we can get that message out from the staff side and our side as well publicly.
Director Saunders, idea. I think maybe we'll put something on our website too.
Yeah.
So that's a good idea.
And yep, the Facebook page too.
Yeah, and then, but I think, are you okay? Then we're just, I'm not taking a vote here, but I think we're just going to go ahead and do it and do the outreach as I described.
Yep.
Okay. Yeah, I can't imagine anybody not thinking that it's a good idea to not poop in the reservoir.
Well, COVID got people crazy, so.
Yeah, I certainly agree that as long as it's within the policy, the spending authority, let's move on this.
Well, I thank everybody for their opinion, and I just wanted to make sure you knew, because this has been a popular place since I was a kid in the 70s here. I can already see people trying to rip any gate down we put up. It's going to be, people aren't going to be happy. So just so you know.
Thanks, Daryl.
All right.
Oh, didn't mean to take over the meeting, Mike. Go ahead.
If there was any other questions for Daryl, thanks for we have the acre feet up in numbers, so that's good. We can see it right off the bat. And finally, we have years up now on the chart too, which is also good. So we can track all the way back from 2017 with our water. So that's pretty good as well. So thanks for those updates.
Welcome.
Is there anyone from the public with questions for Daryl? All right. We can move ahead to item 6D. That's the water resources report.
Adam Brown is the author of the report, is on vacation today. I don't know, between Daryl and myself, we can try and answer questions, although I probably won't be much help here.
Yeah, if anyone has any questions, we could probably answer them, but I don't have the report in front of me.
Daryl, I have a question for you. I apologize, I got a emergency phone call, so I had to step away. Sorry about that. I think Adam did a great job, and I think you did a great job on your report, but I just have a quick question about the issue of the possible, you know, people driving or, you know, parking and living next to the lake. Any prescriptive easements that we have where we can at least post some signs about no trespassing in any way out there? Not that that might not help, but it might at least help get the word out that we've got an issue here that we're concerned about.
Yes, we have done that many times. The signs usually last a few weeks and then they're all gone. And then we go out and put them up higher in a tree. But yeah, that's been done many times at Greenwood.
Okay. Okay, thank you.
No further questions. We can move ahead to new business. Item 7A, the updated CIP report.
Yeah, putting this under new business may not have been the appropriate place for it. And because I'm not asking you to approve the CIP today. I just wanted to talk to you about it, and Daryl can answer some specific questions about the projects that we are proposing included in it. But as I stated earlier, we're still going through the process of verifying the account balances in the different reserve funds and just trying to understand what kind of a budget surplus we're gonna have this year. I do know it's gonna be significantly less than what was projected at the beginning of the, when the budget was approved for 2019-20. And be happy to go and present a recommendation about which of these projects we feel comfortable going forward with based on the financial situation of the reserve funds once we have that data. And we could do it either in a special meeting in a couple of weeks or wait till the next regular board meeting. But right now, this is not really holding up. The projects here can wait another month. The big item of, I think that's going to make an immediate impact is the purchase of the gunite machine and the gunite, which Director Wildley pointed out we could use the SMUD funds for. So that's going to move forward. But that being said, I'm going to ask Daryl here to kind of help me walk through the different projects that are on the list real quickly. And then if you have any questions or want more information on any of the projects that are in here, we can try and answer your questions.
Jeff, would you like me to put up the staff report for this?
Yeah, if you could put up the CIP project list, perhaps that would be good, which is in the second page of the staff report. And some of these we're going to definitely want to recommend going forward with. I do feel that we do have enough funds in the reserve policy, in the reserve funds. And also part of this whole validating this is of the reserve funds, we're staff would like to come back to the board with a recommendation about maybe reprogramming some of the funds or maybe condensing or combining some of the reserve funds into lesser funds. So we have a less number of funds and it just makes things a little bit more flexible. So.
Okay. Can you see it?
No.
Okay.
I see you're sharing the screen, but it's
like your toolbar. There it is.
Oh, there it is.
Yeah, scroll down a little bit, please. Okay, we'll start there. I think you're all familiar with the reservoir and steam gauging. This is an ongoing effort for the district to continue to get to do a better job of measuring the flows throughout the system and identifying where leaks or repairs could be made. And Daryl, do you want to expand on that a little bit, please?
Sure. There's not a lot to expand on, but it's already beginning. We started the process last year. Been working with Jeff Meyer on that also, and they're it's just a continuing ongoing thing. I think it's all going to fire back up. Right now they're just waiting for irrigation season to end, so probably start in October when there's less water in the ditch to continue doing this. So this is just money from last year transferred to this year. It was already in the CIP.
Yeah, and a lot of these projects, if not all of them, have been deferred from earlier years. Then Daryl, maybe you could just take the next two as well.
Yeah, I can do that. We all know that the office roofs need repair in the shop, and we had 30,000 in there for a couple of years and nothing ever happened. Well, I had Allstate Roofing come out and fill out a form for me and to tell us, you know, give us an estimate, professional estimate on how, what it needs and how it needs to be fixed. And their estimate was 72,000. So I'm just trying to get it approved, get these roofs done, actually ASAP before this winter hits. I would like to do that as soon as the CIP is approved for that one. Annual tank recoating, everybody knows we've been doing that every year. I'm seriously thinking, I've already talked to Jeff about this, of skipping a year and using this money somewhere else, because I have other things that are more of a priority, like things down farther on the list I'll get to in a little while, pump stations. We only have three tanks left, and right now that's not a big emergency.
Okay, and yeah, I'm not convinced yet, Daryl, that we want to skip a year, but and all this will change too if we're successful in the water transfer, because that'll bring another $600,000 of revenue into the CIP fund. So that big impact on the timing of these projects. And appreciate the board supporting that water transfer. The meter replacement program, I think you're all familiar with this, working on a loan from the state. Adam is working on the loan application. We're also going to be looking at grant opportunities for this, but for grants, it's a long lead time, and it's a big item. This is the biggest item on a CIP, and it's something that needs to be done. So we're just going to wait and see how we're going to tackle this one. But I'm sure you're all aware of, you know more about this program than I do. Daryl, the old ALT water treatment plant demo.
Yes, we would like to get going on that whenever we could, also just to get rid of the old building and the filters. You know, there's a tank, a generator, just things like that down there that would be nice just to get them out of there while we can. Maybe some stuff still worth some money to get it taken care of.
Yeah, there might be some salvage value associated with some of the equipment. And this is something that was scheduled for once we have the project closed out. And this will make one of the neighbors happy, Ms. Sherry Gold, who some of the directors may know. So we are trying to get this one done this year as well. Daryl? And Kelly, yes. can you scoot down the page a little bit more? There you go. Thank you. Perfect.
A little too far, but too on far. The pump stations right there. On the pump stations, I've actually already started. I went out last month with Coastline, and they looked at three of our pump stations, and they're going to be putting something together on giving us, you know, an idea of are we going to replace them, you know, with a package station or repair them, things like that. I'm waiting for them to come back to me on that. So some of this has already started. This money, the 123.4, was from last year. We just transferred to this year. Again, these pump stations really need it. Actually all of them do, but I'm hoping we can do at least two with this money after the Coastline finishes their review.
And hey, Daryl, which ones are they? What are the three that you're looking at? I'm just curious.
Ones I'm looking at are Hotchkiss Hill Pump Station, Reservoir Road Pump Station, and they actually looked at another one for me on Black Ridge Road. I'm not sure I'm going to do anything there yet. But, you know, Angel Camp Pump Station is a biggie that's going to need it too. If it doesn't get done this year, it'll be next, I'm hoping. Because, I mean, these were all built 40 years ago. Literally, the buildings are rotting around and the pipes are old. They just need to be torn down, the pumps and motors. And we could put in all modern equipment and it would be more reliable. And plus, maybe get some backup power for these PSP events.
Thank you.
Yeah, and Daryl, we jumped over the annual canal lining. Will some of that be addressed by the gunite machine and the gunite?
Yes, that's why it's not in there, because it was already, we already had 100,000 approved in the budget this time in the, for gunite. And the future, I don't know. I mean, that'll be up to you or whoever the general manager is to say, or, you know, let's make it CIP. But that's why that's not in there for this time, because we already had the other 100,000 approved.
Right. And so the 100,000 is just to purchase the gunite each year to do the canal lining. So, okay. Where were we? District parking lots.
I don't know if you're familiar with this one, Jeff, but I've been talking to Adam. We got a bid back. I don't have it in front of me. It was over $200,000 to do both parking lots. So our hearts shrank. We're trying to decide now. We probably come back to you later after Adam discusses it more with contractors and probably Jeff. And like, are we going to do half and half, like do half of the parking lot this year and half of it next year? I don't know, but that's kind of where we're at.
And then the filter at Walton
Lake. Filter at Walton, that's already out to bid. We have two bids received. This is already going. Right now I'm working with Coastland to find out if the lowest bidder is qualified. Actually, I think we had sent that to Barbara, our attorney, to give us some advice on that one, who we have to pick. Only two people put in bids, and we're trying to figure out which one we can use right now.
Yeah. And then the wastewater lift station upgrade.
Of course, this is Adam's deal, but that's obviously for Station 16 down on Auburn Lake Trails. It's time. It's been, I helped rebuild that myself over 20 years ago. So it's in need of a bunch of new equipment and motors. And so this is for that.
Okay. So the total that what we're projecting here is 2.9 million. You take out the meter replacement program, and that leaves about $1 million of proposed capital improvements. The Fund 43 right now, we think, has about between $800,000 and $900,000 in it that's being validated. So we again, we're looking at, There's a number of different reserve funds that we're trying to understand exactly what they can be used for, and would it make sense to combine some of these other funds into the CIP, into Fund 43. So, like I said, we hope to have that resolved in the next week or so. So that's why we don't have a, just trying to be a little conservative here. And then again, if we determine that the water transfer is going to go through, that'll add another 65-70% to the balance of the reserve fund. So that would really, really help a lot. So Director Wadley?
Yeah, I was just going to clarify that the wastewater lift station, that comes out of different funds, right? That's going to come out of the reserve funds for the, was it, I guess, 40, was it 42 these days?
Yeah, that's 40? The FT1 separately.
Yeah, thank you.
Sure.
So I appreciate your patience on this, and I'll work with President Souza to figure out if it's worth scheduling a special meeting, or you just want to wait till the August regular meeting, which should fall fairly early in the month next month. Any questions?
Yeah, I had one. So one with some of the things with the CIP budget. We can also recapture the savings from the tank. Is that already in from the Spanish Dry Diggins tank, because that was under the projected one. So does that have the 73,700?
That is correct. That will help.
And then the only thing I would add, I'll send some information to Jeff about just things like priority numbers and things like that to help the board also decide on which items the staff wants to do next, and priority based wise to also help us with our decisions as well.
All right, thank you.
Mike, yes. Thornborough has a question, if you're ready for that.
Yep.
Okay, let me see.
You can unmute Mr. Thornborough.
Let me find him. There he is. He's you're unmuted, Mike. Go ahead.
He's muted again.
Oh.
Yep, now he's unmuted.
Okay.
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Can you hear? Okay. I got a question on the roof repairs or replacement. It's $72,000. Is that for repairs or to replace the whole roof?
Both. They didn't plan on replacing some of the roof where it didn't need it. I don't know if you're familiar with the main office building. But one side of the roof is tile on the customer side, and then the back side of the roof is comp. So they were going to leave most of the tile alone. He thought it was in good shape and just repair around the edges of that.
And replace the comp. Right?
That is correct.
Okay. On the $100,000 for gunite, how many feet of gunite will that give us of canal?
I knew someone would ask that. That's extremely difficult to tell, because if we're doing gunite on the main ditch, it wouldn't be very many feet. If we're doing it on small ditches, we'd make it really far. So it's going to be different every year depending on the canals we're gunite-ing.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah, I don't know how you figured that out either. The money you got in there for the $123,400 for the pump stations, is that for one station or three stations?
That's for as many stations as I can do with that amount of money. I'm waiting for Coastline to find out how many I can do. I was hoping to do all of them, but they don't seem to think it'll cut it.
Yeah, I'd think you'd be lucky to do two.
That's what they said.
Really? Okay, that's all I got.
Thank you, Mr. Thornborough. Any other public comments, Kelly?
No, there are no other hands up.
Any other directors?
Director Saunders, I just have one comment, and that is at the end of the recommended staff report. If it's only going to be a couple of weeks, I agree with the staff report that we can probably hear about any of these updates and have the staff make a presentation at the August board meeting. That's all I have. Thank you.
Yeah, I think August is fine as well. I had a question, and Jeff, I understand that Adam's not here, but any update on the meter replacement application?
No, I know he was getting close. I'm sorry, I spoke with him last week, and maybe Director Saunders, I don't know if you know, but I thought he was getting close to it.
Jeff, I can help you with that one. He's submitted all of the paperwork, and the state has come back to us with some questions regarding our budget and our revenues and stuff. So we're working on getting them a 5-year projected revenues and expenses. And literally, I think he said they're just kind of going through all of the paperwork and getting in the very end stages of it.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Okay. It looks like the only thing we moved out of our CIP is the upcountry ditch, and we know we didn't get the smart water grant for it, so that's something we're going to have to look at down the road again. All right, so we will go with the staff recommendation to revisit this once we get the funding information back and can look at our reserve funds and reprogram the CIP based on priority, and we'll look forward to it back in August, I guess.
All right, thank you.
Are you back and ready, Dave?
No, you're having fun. Go ahead.
All right, I will continue. All right, the next item is item 7B, customer request to cancel irrigation service.
All right, this customer, is it okay if I go, Jeff?
Yes, please, take the next two.
Okay. I guess we'll just do a little bit of reading, but in our ordinance, it says customers shall pay for irrigation service for the entire season, regardless of their interest or ability to use the water. But this customer purchased the land, which was already had access to irrigation water last year. They applied on time and went through the proper channels to get the water. When season started, their water service was activated, but no water made it to their property, which is over 1,000 feet from the ditch, long ways, and through a couple other properties with easements. They tried many times to locate their water line. They paid people. We went out there and tried to help them to no avail. We received a letter from the property owner asking if they could cancel the service since they can't even figure out how to get this water to their property. And they've already paid for the first 2 months, but if the board allows them to cancel it, then they wouldn't have to pay the remainder of the season since they're not getting any water. Which staff recommends the board approve the cancellation of the service and allow them not to pay for the remainder of the season.
Daryl, can I ask you a clarifying question? Okay, so they did not receive any irrigation water at all. Is that correct?
Correct.
Okay. Is there any reason why we wouldn't consider refunding their money since they didn't receive any water?
Actually, the board can do that. I was just following my rules on my ordinance and how I should handle it, but the board could definitely do that. And they tried hard. They tried really hard to get the water.
Okay, thank you.
I would certainly support Cindy's thinking there that, they made a good faith effort and they were unable to get the water. And I would support the idea that we would not only not charge them going forward, but we refund for the monies for the water they never received. That seems only reasonable to me.
Director Wadley?
Yeah, Daryl, I just wanted to ask, does this at all, any change that we would make affect their ability to apply and be in the priority for next year?
Because they actually were a customer this summer, they are considered a priority one.
Okay.
So reapply again, if they get a new line or figure it out, they should have priority to get the water back.
Okay. I mean, that was the way I saw it too, but I just want to confirm that they would, if they figure this all out or someone figures it out, they would still be a priority one next year. And I'm hearing you say yes.
Yes.
Thank you.
So, yeah, I agree with the other directors that this is people that, with good faith, they got their escrow, they got all their information, they thought they had irrigation, they purchased it, and then they couldn't get any water through no fault of their own. Looks like they tried their best. Looks like they tried to find this. They paid people to see if it was anywhere. They worked with the district, and they weren't able to get any water, so I agree with allowing them to cancel their service, and since they didn't receive any water, to refund the money from that they paid and didn't receive any water for. That would be what I would agree with as well with you guys.
Yeah, I agree also.
Yeah, I agree. And hopefully, Daryl, if they ask for some help next year, you'll have some time with as busy as you're going to be to maybe go out there and help them again if they start digging around and they find something that they think might look like a pipe. So I agree. If they didn't receive any water, I don't think there should be a charge. I think we should refund their money, and the district's not out the water since it wasn't covered. So.
Okay. Is there any comments from the audience?
Yes.
Okay. Looks like Mr. Dowd.
Oh, you, okay. Where is he? Hold on.
There, I am muted myself. Hello?
Yes, we can hear you, Mr. Dowd.
Yeah, Stephen Dowd. I'm wondering, was water leaving the ditch trying to get to these people? Were we losing water all this time for 2 months?
It wouldn't go down their pipeline. It was crushed or a valve up somewhere they don't know about. Something was going on. The water wouldn't go.
So we weren't losing anything.
Yeah.
Okay, that's good. All right, thank you.
Any others, Kelly?
Mike did have his hand up, but it looks like he put it down. Okay. Mike, did you have any additional question? Oh, he did not. Okay, no.
Okay, can I bring it back to the board? Can I get a motion from the directors?
I'll make a motion to... adopt staff's recommendation and refund the customer the previous months that they did not actually receive water for, but that they paid.
I'll second that.
Okay, so we had a motion from Director Wadley to accept staff recommendation to cancel the service and also to refund for the additional months that they paid for it and they did not receive water. And the second was by?
Director Saunders.
Director Susie, second.
Oh, sorry. Yeah. Director Saunders, Mike put his hand up again.
Okay, let's have comments from Mr. Thornborough.
Hey, can you hear me now?
Yes.
There we go. Okay, I'm all for what you guys are proposing. However, I don't necessarily agree that we should be using the district staff to go out there and help them solve their problem. That's from the ditch to their place is their responsibility. So I don't think we should be spending time on doing that. But if we're going to refund them all the money, I mean, that seems pretty darn generous to me.
Thank you.
That's all I got.
Thank you, Mr. Thornborough. And in the report, it sounds like they also paid someone to do it on their end. So it looks like they exhausted all of the possible attempts. So we had a motion by Director Wadley and seconded by Director Souza. We will go through roll call. Director Wadley.
Aye.
Director Souza.
Aye.
Director Garcia.
Aye.
Director Halpin.
Aye.
And Director Saunders. Aye. So the motion passes.
And we will now refund the money.
Yes. We will now go to the next item, which is item 7C, customer request to reinstate irrigation service.
Okay, this is a little different. After the board approved the irrigation season summary at the April meeting, the staff made phone calls to all the existing customers who hadn't turned in an application, and there was a bunch of them. One of those calls was made to Ms. Johnson, and when asked if she wanted to keep her irrigation water, all she said was no and hung up the phone. So at that time, we made that account inactive. Staff received a phone call on June 19th from Susan Gilreath, Mrs. Johnson's daughter, letting us know that the property is in her name and her mother is not well and didn't mean to discontinue the service. Staff received a letter from Catherine Korn, Susan Gilreath's attorney, explaining the situation and asking to reinstate the service. It's in attachment one. If the board allows the service to be reinstated, it will have no effect on that section of canal because there is water available and no one on a waiting list, and no one had applied for water in that area as of last season. So staff recommends it, and they've also been customers for about 60 years, just so you know. staff recommends the board approve the customer's request to have the irrigation service reinstated.
Since it's 59, right? I mean, since it's been 60, if it was 59, then we wouldn't do it, right?
Yeah.
Any questions from the board? Seeing none, any questions from the audience?
Stephen Dowd, Mr. Dowd.
Nope, he's just stretching.
Oh, okay.
Exercising his shoulder. He's had surgery. All right, yep. Yeah, I agree. I have, it's the rightful owner, and they request irrigation service, and I didn't see any issue with that either. So bringing it back to the board, do we have a motion?
A motion to approve staff's recommendation.
I'll second that motion.
Yep. So we have our...
Can I just ask one clarifying question before we go to vote?
Yes, Director Garcia.
There are no fees to this particular customer to reinstate anything, correct?
That is correct.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, so we had the motion by Director Wadley to accept staff's recommendation to approve the request to have the irrigation service reinstated, seconded by Director Halpin. Roll call vote, Director Wadley.
Aye.
Director Halpin.
Aye.
Director Garcia.
Aye.
Director Souza.
Aye.
And Director Saunders, aye. The motion passes. The next item, 7D, is not used. We go to item 7E, county tax roll for property bills.
Christina, I'm hoping you can help explain this. But typically, this is just a routine matter. This year, it's a little different due to the large number of delinquent bills we have, and also because of the COVID-19 situation, the district has been waiving late fees. So we just wanted the board to it's also a lot of work for staff to proceed with this. So we just wanted to make sure the board, we wanted to receive direction from the board before we proceeded with this process. And Christina, are you able to add to that, please?
Yeah. So basically every year we do what's called a tax roll, and we put any delinquent amounts on customers' accounts. This year, when I ran the report for delinquent accounts as of June 30th, we had 284 delinquent customers. Just within the last billing cycle, it was around 39,000. And then anyone who was 120 to 180 days were around 12,000 in each column.
That's dollars.
Yeah, with a total of $66,000. Typically, when we send tax rolls to the county, they're around $12,000 to $15,000, not in the $66,000 range. When I put together the ordinance, I do believe we put together the ordinance for just the assessment districts to be tax rolled. Those get tax rolled every year, and those don't have anything to do with the water bills. This $66,000 is strictly unpaid water bills.
If I could ask the question, when you say they're tax rolled, what does that mean?
It means the unpaid balance goes onto their property taxes. So from what I've been told, it can have a negative effect if that unpaid balance goes onto their property taxes.
So we send it to the county to collect these.
I get it.
And the names get published in the newspaper. And it has a negative effect on your credit rating.
So a follow-up question, assuming we choose not to put a lien on them, is the debt still owed to the water district?
Yes.
So what would happen is, typically, we tax roll every year, so anybody who for the last 12 months since the last fiscal year would be captured now. Basically, what would happen is whoever doesn't pay these accounts and become current, we have the possibility to collect those fees next fiscal year. It would just wouldn't be able to collect them until next July or August.
Unless they pay their bill.
Yeah, so I'm hoping they'll pay their bill.
So I have a third question. Assuming we choose not to put a lien on their taxes and they continue to owe this debt to the district, in the future years, if in fact we chose to put a lien on their taxes, would that still be an option if we chose to do that?
Yes, because it's an unpaid balance.
And the fourth question would be, if we choose to forgive these loans in the spirit of the pandemic, is that also an option for the board?
I don't think that we can forgive the unpaid water. That would be a question for Barbara. These are unpaid water bills, so I don't know that we can necessarily wipe those clean.
We weren't recommending that, but yeah, I guess Barbara, I don't know if that could be an option for to be put on the table, but.
Yeah, you'd have to have a basis. Do you know, Christine, how many of these unpaid bills are directly related or due to COVID actually?
You're on mute. I think she normally has like about 24 to 40, and this year we got 284. So.
Yeah, I think the delta between historical records and what's happening now would be a good indication that the difference is COVID.
Right. I agree. That's the assumption. I'm asking when you guys agreed to say, hey, we're not going to impose late fees, et cetera. There was like, you know, show us that this is related to COVID. And
right.
So I'm hearing that you haven't done any of that follow-up to find out whether it's, you know, they actually are saying that.
Correct.
Just a note, some people are just not paying their bills because they know they don't have to. Just like some people aren't paying their rent because they know you can't do anything about it.
So. Yeah. I have one of my rental houses that I still have, and that's their excuse. And I'm not buying it. So I wouldn't fall into that trap.
So it back to my that answers my fourth question. So I guess if I understood the answers to the questions, if we choose not to put a lien on them this year, there's nothing stopping us from following up next year, assuming the COVID situation has changed. Would that be correct?
Correct.
Okay, that answers all my questions.
Well, and there's an option here that you could choose to do the tax rolls for the assessment districts and not the customers. So you can do the tax roll for both or for either or neither.
Understood.
And I think we're recommending you do it for the assessment districts.
Yes.
Any other director comments?
Yeah, I just have a question real quick, Mr. Chair. Christina, is the, did I hear the assessment districts then are the normal $12,000? Is that historical for the assessment districts or is that just everyone?
No, so the assessment districts are different. NBS handles the assessment districts and what they owe. The $12,000 is just for the water bills. It doesn't include the none of these numbers include the assessment districts at all. Okay. And the only two assessment districts we have are the Kelsey North and the Stewart Mine.
Right.
You have anything else?
It looks like the recommended action is actually for both. If I'm reading this correctly. Making assessments levied upon the land for which water service was used and charges unpaid and for annual assessment district levies. I certainly understand too, because I know we waived the late fees due to COVID, and I certainly supported that. I'm a little hesitant to to not put these, I mean, people can still have to pay it, I mean, on their property taxes. So if you're not going to pay it, you're not going to pay it, no matter whether it's on your property tax bill or not. But this is, you know, this is obviously a little bit more, and I understand times are difficult, but as an opportunity for us to at least realize some of this money that should be paid, I think it's something that we should consider.
Yeah, I agree with Dane.
Did you have something, Director Garcia?
Yeah, this is a tough one because we're all sympathetic and can be empathetic to people falling on hard times because Lord knows we have too. I mean, just look at your 401k. So this is a bit difficult to assess folks, you know, a lien on their property, which is going to put them in, you know, further dire straits, but it does need to be paid. They do have a responsibility to pay it. Christina said this is unpaid water bills, which means they've received the water. So they should pay, you know, for the services they have received. Yeah, this is a difficult one. I'm just going to throw out some ideas here and see what the board, my fellow colleagues, think about this. Is there any chance that there would be emergency fund money or maybe disadvantaged monies that could be applied to offset some of this $66,000? And would that even be prudent to do so to maybe help these people out that are falling on hard times?
I know we already have the LAIF program, so that's already built in. One of the things I would add is this is also twofold. So one, we all are aware that COVID is there and we waive the fees. Two, it's also come out from the state that if your bills are not paid, we're not going to turn off the water. So that's there as well. So I think to let people know that going forward, we may have to put these liens on, so give them the option of, hey, we will be putting names on the rolls before doing it to give people the chance to start working on, all right, we're going to have to pay this bill, so maybe they'll work on payment plans or something like that with Christina, which they normally do, because I know when you do the payment plans, we don't put them on the lien. Is that correct, Christina?
Typically, if they were on a payment, they would get to us before the end of June. So these are all people who had balances as of the end of June. Typically, we don't do a payment plan to avoid this, because if they default on the payment plan, then all of that money is due immediately. And so basically, they didn't get sent on the tax roll. Yeah. If somebody already had an existing hardship, they wouldn't have been put on the tax roll, but we don't typically give them a hardship once they're already on that tax roll list.
Yeah, so see, this is a different situation with COVID, and the governor kind of put us in a situation in the state where people know they don't have to pay and they'll get the water. So now we kind of have to let them know, all right, this is an issue where the revenue is actually going to start hurting the district. So if you are able to pay, then we need you to be able to at least pay your bills. And if not, we may have to go forward and put these liens in. So I think at least giving people the option first of knowing that this is a possibility before doing it is probably the best way to go, in my opinion.
This would all need to be done before August, though. So that's why normally it would come to you guys and then it gets published in the paper. So they would have to have it done by the beginning of August. It would have to be paid to get to the county.
So, Christina, is the tax rolls filed once a year or can they be filed more than once a year?
It's once a year by the end of August.
Okay. So they don't have the option to be notified that they potentially could be put a lien against their property. So they, if they do have the financial means to pay the bill and they're just using COVID as an excuse, they could pay the bill.
They'll get notified when we publish it on the website or publish it in the newspaper. So that's how everyone gets notified. And last year we did a lot of calling, but we also didn't have 200, almost 300 customers who were delinquent.
Okay.
Can't you mail something out?
We're still on the board. being a landlord, some of these people can up and leave in the middle of the night. We don't know where they're going, and we won't get paid. So I'm not for some of these things. I agree with Dane. Because if they don't pay the bill, then I eat it.
Yeah, that's a hardship of being a landlord for sure. Well, the water is in business to supply water. We've done our due diligence, and staff have done their great job to provide that water. And we are spoiled, but we've got really good water up here. And if they continue to receive such services, thanks to the governor, then I think if we notify them and they read it in the paper, then they're incentivized to pay the bill before things get worse for them. And then,
or at least work on a payment plan, hopefully.
Yes, and if they have that option. Christina, how do customers find out about payment options or payment plans?
It's now in the SB 998 policy that we have. And it's basically, I don't know that it's anything that's ever been published.
Because of this situation this year where, you know, we have almost a hundredfold increase here of delinquent customers, would it be prudent for us to put out on our Facebook page some information letting folks know about this assembly bill, about the governor's bill, just as a public outreach mechanism to let them know that if they are delinquent, and they'll know who they are, if they are delinquent, that they could be subject to this upcoming pending, you know, voter rolls beyond the, beyond the liens or the tax rolls?
It is on our website. It's been on our website since we passed the policy.
Okay. Is it also on our Facebook page too?
That I don't know. I don't have access to our Facebook page.
Okay.
Yeah. I have not put it on the Facebook page. I can put it on the Facebook page if you would like.
Director Wadley?
Thank you. Just a question to help me think about this a little bit differently. Christina, do you have any sort of estimate as to, okay, like in the past, so if we put these accounts on, what's, you know, what sort of percentage of people then all of a sudden kind of come in and they, you know, they pay? Is there a ballpark?
There aren't typically a lot of people who pay once it's been put on. Like I said, usually we send about $12,000. I want to say we scrubbed the list all the way until the very end of August, and I had maybe 5 to 10 people pay. So it wasn't a large number that were falling off the list after it came to the board for review.
Yeah.
I guess this is Director Halpin. Here, my question would be, if we were to take an action to defer any liens being placed in this year, and we notified the public and did a public outreach that we did this in lieu of COVID, is there any reason we couldn't then do that 12 months from now?
Do what?
Put the liens on. You know, we'd essentially be taking the action we're talking about taking right now and deferring it for 12 months.
Correct. Yeah, you can do that.
Is there any reason we could not do that?
You can do that. No, I don't think there is any reason why you cannot. Christina?
It states that any unpaid balance as of the end of the fiscal year can be tax rolled. So it shouldn't matter if it's from this year or, you know, next year, if it can be tax rolled.
I guess from my point of view, as I understand the situation, and I certainly think at some point we need to, you know, try to collect the monies that are due us because we delivered the water. But I personally would not be adverse to deferring the action for 12 months in light of COVID.
Well, you know, I would say to that though, is it sounds like most of these, at least historically, they weren't going to get a lot of these payments anyways.
Yeah, I'm not in any way suggesting that people are, not taking advantage of the situation. But by the same token, I'm sure there are people who are facing a COVID-related hardship, and allowing ourselves a 12-month breathing period, I think the district has the resources to absorb that, and then 12 months from now, move forward with these actions. And it might be, it would certainly be agreeable to me to do that.
I'm going to ask a question here, Christina. So when, if we did send this in, when would the tax bills be due? In a couple of months or 3 months?
They're in two installments. So I don't know how the county charges those fees on the because it's on the property taxes. Well, and typically people December pay them in
December and April.
April, okay, yeah.
Can I chime in? Mm-hmm. That's not my understanding of how this works. The reason why you have an annual tax roll and why the agencies such as the district put the lien on is each year is the tax. That tax doesn't get paid unless the person comes in and pays it or the house transfers, the property transfers. So if you have a sale of the property, you have the lien and you get your lien paid. It doesn't just go on the person's property tax bill and then get paid. It shows up as a lien and you get notice from the county and it says, hey, this tax bill hasn't been paid and now it's a lien on your property and it gets collected via bankruptcy, sale, transfer of some sort of that property. It just sits there. That's why you don't see people pay them. There's no incentive for them to pay them. And that's why it happens every year is that if you have a debt owed to you, if the district's owed money from a particular customer and you don't put the lien on this year and you leave it for 12 months and they sell that house within that 12-month period, you have no way of collecting that money. From the new owner does not have to pay you. That's the way it works.
So based on what Barbara has just told me, that gives me a little different view. And so maybe I'll retract my thought that we should defer it for 12 months. The lien is the lien, and they can pay it if they choose to.
Yep. I'll weigh in because I haven't talked yet. Looking at the numbers, it's 5.5 times normal. So something tells me this is an abnormal situation here. So I'm pretty apt to believe a lot of this is related to COVID. Remember, we have a lot of small business owners on the divide and they are really hurting with their businesses. We have a lot of people who aren't able to go to work, people who are doing stuff like home care and babysitting, and all of those things are not an option for a lot of people now. So I think a lot of it may be related to COVID. And so I think we really have to look at, will this lien be even hurting them more where they can't pay? So these are the options to think of. Looking at $60,000 in the scheme of our entire budget, going over 1 year with that COVID kind of relief, and we'll look at this next year with the liens and maybe look at just the assessment districts as an option. So that's one of the things I would look at. But yeah, the number kind of shows that this is abnormal, and I'm pretty sure this is kind of related to people's ability to pay. Director Garcia?
Yeah, this is Cindy. I just got a follow-up question, possibly for Jeff or Christina. Do you know if the requirement to put these delinquent accounts, or handle the way we handle these delinquent accounts, does it require us to notify each and every delinquent account?
We don't notify them. We publish it in the newspaper. So it doesn't require that we contact them each individually. It requires that we publish it as a public notice in the newspaper.
Okay. And has there been any attempt to reach out to them and let them know their account is delinquent by any of the staff of the Water District?
Not currently. other than they just received their water bills that show their past due bill. So on their water bill, it does show when someone's 60 days plus past due, and it actually states their past due balance now.
Okay, so that is notification in and of itself. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So let me just kind of clarify here, based on what Barbara said, the lien goes on the tax roll, but it's separate from your property tax bill. So they could pay the property tax and not pay the lien, but the lien in a way protects the district in case the homeowner sells the house or the house. So the lien the house, not with the customer. You're basically attaching the liability, what they owe the district to the house.
Correct. If I could restate that, at closing, that bill would have to be part of the escrow account and we would get our money.
Yes. Correct.
Right.
And if you try to refinance that house or do anything else with that house, use it as, you know, equity for a different loan, etc., that lien will pop up. It'll have to be cleared. So it hampers the homeowner. You know, it's a cloud on their title.
Right. While it encumbers their title, it does not force them to pay the bill.
Correct.
And how does that work in terms of dealing with homeowner's insurance as well?
Homeowner's insurance doesn't get into that kind of thing.
No.
It may show up, and it'll show up in a credit check, right? That you have a lien,
and an overdue water bill would also show up in a credit check.
I don't know about that.
No, we don't report to the credit bureaus if somebody's past due.
Yeah.
Ah. Okay.
All right, let's
okay, well, if I could just sum up, I kind of changed my position, and I'm fine with putting liens on them at this point in time as opposed to deferring for 12 months. So that's a change in position based on this discussion that I've had.
The only thing I'd add is we've already did some waves with COVID, and we've waived fees, and just we have to just look at at least giving people right of notice if we're going to put them on the liens beforehand. So making some way it's known, and knowing not everybody's on Facebook and not everybody receives emails. So this would require some kind of mail or notification, and it wouldn't be widespread because we only have the 384, which are delinquent. So at least to alert them before we do anything to that measure. So let's go to the, if there's anybody in the audience that has questions, and then we'll come back again. Looks like Mr. Dowd.
Yes, Stephen Dowd. I agree 100% with you, Mike. You're 100% right, everything you stated. We should be sending something out to these people, a yellow slip saying you're delinquent. You can't hold them really responsible, because I tried to warn you, folks, for 3-4 months now about this COVID, and there's 40 million people out of work and probably 20 million are back in work. I don't know the real statistics, but you went and took the rate freeze off, and now you're charging them more money per month for the water. You got to send them something to warn them. And I bet there's only a handful of people that are really, you know, devious and thinking about screwing the water company, and the rest of them just can't afford it, you know? And it's gonna be even tougher when this next bill comes out. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Dow. Any other audience comments, Kelly?
Yes, Mike. Let's see if, there he goes.
Mr. Thornborough?
Yeah. Are all of these delinquent bills property owners, or are a bunch of them tenants as well?
A lot of them are property owners.
A lot of them are?
A large amount of them are.
Okay, but there are many of them that are actual tenants, and the property owner won't know anything about this.
The property owner is going to be notified if it's a rental. That's why we haven't gone through anything yet, because I had to wait for the board to give me direction on if we're going to tax roll them or not. There are outreach, and we will notify not only tenants but property owners as well.
So now you're saying you're going to notify them all instead of just putting it in the paper?
Well, when it's in the paper, it's going to be the property owner that's going into the paper. But yes, we do. But yes, we do reach out to them, and we do notify people that they are on the tax roll.
You're notifying the homeowners.
It will always be a homeowner that's notified as well.
Well, earlier you said you were going to notify them by putting it in the paper.
It does get put in the paper. That's how it gets publicized, to let everybody know. But if there is a tenant and a homeowner, the homeowner is always notified.
Before it comes out in the paper.
I can reach out to them before it goes in the paper, but typically it's that's how they're notified.
It goes in the paper.
Because the homeowner gets a copy that there is a past due balance as well.
Oh, okay. So when the tenants get notified there's a past due balance, the homeowner.
So does the homeowner. So, yes,
oh, okay.
Sir.
All right. Another statement I'd like to make is that it was mentioned in this whole conversation, somebody, and I don't remember who, said something about forgiving the bill due to COVID-19, that might be a possibility later on. How would that not be considered a gift? Anybody?
Barbara, can you weigh in on that, please?
I guess if I could weigh in, I asked that question, and the answer was we cannot forgive that bill.
Yeah, it's tricky when it comes to gift of public funds. I mean,
right.
You've got a hardship situation. You know, you would have to establish that was due to COVID. You know, part of what they're trying to do is get federal government to supplement these kind of funds in order to be able to forgive these past dues, etc. So this is not an easy, hey, it's a gift, it's not a gift. Given the pandemic, this is an unusual situation, right? You know, we don't know what's gonna happen. We don't know if we're gonna turn into a whole real estate downturn, you know, in the next few months. You know, I can't tell you whether a court would say that was a gift of public funds under certain circumstances that may arise by the time you get there.
Yep.
I can't tell you that.
But I think we know for a fact at this moment, we can't use public funds as a gift based on our own discretion.
No, you can't. You don't even know if all these delinquents are due to COVID. You don't know.
There's no point in speculating. Barbara, there's no point in speculating about the future. At this moment, we know we can't give public funds as a gift. We don't have that discretion to do such a thing.
No, you do not.
And that's, I think, what the question was. We can't do that. And that's what I asked that question myself. You said it's not an option for us to do that.
Well, you can't just say, well, you know, we think COVID, we think maybe just forgive it, no big deal.
We can't do that.
It would require a process. And the other thing I'd add as well is there was requests for special district help for coming from the legislator above us. So we got to wait and see, and hopefully they will provide some guidance towards that, because they know that all of the special districts are also in the same boat as the businesses throughout the country. So hopefully we will get some relief there as well.
We are trying.
Yep. All right, Mr. Thornborough, do you have any more comments?
Let's see. Are any of these delinquent accounts, I mean, are these people like paying some money towards it? Or all of them just not paying anything?
They're customers who have past due balances. So without going to each individual customer and looking through their payment history. This is just an aging. So this just tells me who didn't pay their last bill, who didn't pay for the last 120 days, and who didn't pay for the last 180 days. So I would have to go through each one of them to see, you know, if anything had been paid. I can tell you, I mean, I can't really give you their information because it's their customer information. But it doesn't look like most of them. I took out anybody who was $25 or less. So that would pretty much be if anybody had, like, you know, a late fee rolled over or something like that. So they're pretty much, you know, full water bills.
Well, the reason I asked the question is that I don't think the assumption can be made or should be made that a majority or even some of them are taking advantage of COVID-19 to get out of paying their bill. You know, I mean, it sounds to me like there are people that are making a good faith effort by at least giving, you know, giving some of it. And I think that needs to be taken into consideration.
Well, there's 284 or 286 of them. And this is people that have been in arrears for 120 and 180 days. So
all of those people have been that delinquent?
Not all of them.
Mike, can we move on? Saunders, can we move on, please? You can ask these questions later.
Questions from before we bring it back to us. Any other ones from the audience?
No, what?
Any other questions from the audience, Kelly? All right.
No.
But, the audience, so what we have to decide is, one, do we want to just go with the assessment districts? Two, are we going to put everybody else on, go ahead and add all those that are delinquent on the rolls? Have kind of a mix where we give people the chance to say they have a hardship and at least start providing some kind of way to payment and move them off the rolls before putting everybody on. So those are some of the options I'm thinking of. So,
Dr. Saunders, I have a follow-up question for Christina. Mm-hmm. Christina, of the emails that we have on file, I understand there's about 400 of those. Is that correct?
Kelly, can you answer that question? What's on MailChimp? Do you know how many emails are on file?
I think there's 480-ish, somewhere around there.
Do you ladies know if these 284 people are on that MailChimp email list where we could email them?
There's nothing on that. On that delinquent list that shows if their customers that are on our MOM software doesn't talk to MailChimp. And if a customer gives us an email address, it doesn't give us an ability to put that into the MOM software to be able to extract that data.
Okay. I was just thinking that possibly if there was a way to email them, we could let them know about what the board has taken an action on or directed staff to do so that they could be notified before August, and possibly they could then reach out back to the district to work on setting up some type of a payment plan. Then we would know who those people are, what their intent was to pay, and then we could maybe not put them on the tax rolls.
That sounds like a lot of work for staff, Director Garcia. Combing through and then trying to see who has emails and who doesn't, and what about the ones who have emails and the ones that don't? So then you're doing different just because they have emails.
And I wouldn't recommend using an email for that. I would recommend a mailer, something that would be hard, so they are forced to kind of open it and look at it, because we all know, especially now, we got so much mail going through and email can be missed. So I'd recommend.
True. Or what about a phone call? Would that even be faster?
You really want staff to make 286 phone calls?
I mean, we've sent them all a bill repeatedly. They have been notified, duly notified.
This would be letting them know if we're going forward to put everybody on the rolls to give people.
Right, on the tax rolls. Put a lien on their property.
Yeah.
But even if we put a lien on their property, there's nothing stopping them from setting up a payment plan and getting busy to paying what they can. They're not mutually exclusive.
Correct. And don't we have another reading before it actually goes to the paper? So isn't there also another stopgap?
There isn't another reading before it goes to the paper. It'll go to the paper. I'd have to find out from Barbara for sure, but just because I don't have names and APNs, if we would have to do this again before I send it to the paper, because it would go to the paper with everybody's name on it, and then it would go to the county. Because if you look at it, it's saying to waive the first reading of the ordinance. So it's basically you're sending it to the paper. It's being published in the newspaper that all of these people are delinquent and that they have their amounts are going to be going to the county. And then, you know, that's kind of what you guys are approving. Barbara, does it have to come back again after that? Or do we just send it to the county?
You're at the first reading and then you've got to do the second. You've got to do the second reading on it as well.
Okay.
So.
But it says to waive the first reading. That's what the.
Yeah, that's what the it says to waive the first.
Yeah, well, that's what you're doing right now. You're waiving it. You're waiving the first, but you still have a second. It's an ordinance. So it has notification requirements, the notice, and then you bring it back after it's been noticed in the newspaper. On the second.
Right. Yeah, I'm prepared to make a motion to move forward with staff's recommendation. The full recommendation that's listed there in the recommended action.
Just before you go there, the second reading in this instance can be the notification. You may be right. So in ordinances for districts, there's often the notice is the newspaper on the second reading. And you don't have to do it. So that ordinance becomes effective after it's put into the newspaper for a certain amount of time. So you're right, Christina, it will not come back before it goes in the newspaper.
Okay. I appreciate that clarification. I'm still prepared to move forward with the motion to adopt staff's recommendation as listed.
I'll second that motion.
All right. Before we get to vote, I just want to have more discussion on this. If we move forward with that vote, can we go ahead and add the notification mailer to those customers before it goes to the notice to the paper, just to let them know that if they have a hardship that they can work with the district to prevent it going into the paper and us going ahead with the lien process for them?
Unfortunately, with the time that it has to be in the newspaper, we won't have enough time to send out a mailer, get things returned from them, and then put it in the newspaper. If we put it in the paper, it has to be there, I believe, Barbara, 30 days. I can't really remember because we only do this once a year.
I think it's 30 days.
Yeah, I think it is too.
Got a quick question then. Christina, then is there any chance that we can request an extension on putting the liens?
The county is not going to do that for us. The county has, I think, already extended it out to the end of August instead of the middle of August.
Okay, thank you.
So we have a motion to accept the staff's recommendation as is, which would be all of the delinquent accounts plus the assessment districts. Motion put in by Director Wadley, seconded by Director Halpin. Director Wadley, roll call vote. Roll call.
Aye.
Vote.
Aye.
Director Halpin?
Aye.
Director Garcia?
Aye.
Director Souza?
Aye.
Director Saunders? I'm going to be the lone no here. It's fine. But as I said, because of COVID, you know, we're in extreme circumstances. I know we'd like to get the money back, but once again, it's $60,000 and we could do it again next year. But I agree. It's that balance that we have to do, balancing the district and balancing the customers. But this is one of those odd years. So
the motion. Mike, my heart is with you. My wallet is not.
Yep, exactly.
Yeah, this is a tough one.
I'm struggling with this, but it's passed. Yep.
I know, it's hard.
The and most I'm hating every bit of it.
One.
All right.
And hopefully when the customers will have a chance, when that goes in, hopefully some of them will be able to do something. All right. Moving on to the next item, 7F, Ad Hoc Grant Writing Committee.
So Adam is not here. This is something that we've talked about for the past few months, forming an ad hoc committee made up of one or two board of directors. And this is something that Director Saunders has worked with Adam Brown on. So I'm really going to turn this over to Director Saunders. I didn't realize you had so many PowerPoint slides.
So. They go quick. They go quick. Let me pull up this thing here.
Oh, and I wanted to clarify one thing on the resolution. The whereas there's a third bullet where it says selected board members to work with members of the public to match and track grant opportunities. I just want to make it clear that that's board members and not staff. But we can revisit that. I apologize, Director Saunders, for interrupting.
And it'll be in the presentation, so that'll be clear on exactly what we're looking at there.
Okay.
So, Kelly, can you bring up the PowerPoint? And as she's bringing that up, I'll keep talking for the option of time. So this is also, I mean, we've talked about this for a long time. This is one of the few ways we can help bring revenue to the district. We know every dollar we receive in grant money is an extra dollar we can save for another capital improvement project. We've done in a bunch of webinars I attended and basically optimizing success in grant writing. So my our ideal that we've been putting forward for the last 2 years is using a grant committee. How can a committee help? The grant planning requires continual research to find grants and then match them with scheduled capital improvement projects and coordinate with timing of applications. The main part of this is to one, help with staff support. It's a supplement to assist staff in many of the steps which are not staff specific. And the committee is also in helping an improvement of the process, which will also allow for the ability to organize, evaluate, coordinate multiple projects. So instead of just working on one grant project at a time, this will give us the ability to look at all of our CIP projects and try to match them immediately. One of the things I know we've had issues with as a board is that separation of staff from the public and specific items that are committee specific and staff specific. So in my presentation, I'll include the separation of director level, volunteer level, and partner specific duties and activities from the staff.
Can you not see the presentation?
You cannot see the presentation.
Can you see it now?
Nope.
Oh my goodness. Let's try again. Share screen. Did it come up?
Not yet. Almost there.
Oh. Not sure why. Sorry.
Looks like it's going to a different window.
We have a paper presentation, so we'll just go from page to page.
Yep. There. I can share it.
Can you share it?
If I'll share it from mine. So basically, just so the public can see it. So these were the steps for securing grants, and I went through the other stuff already. So developing projects, research funding opportunities to make projects, match projects to grants, tracking, applying, and matching. And I'll go through each step and where the committee can work and the staff works. So in developing the project, we know this is something that the staff is going to do. This is going to be shared with us in our budget items, capital improvement plan, asset management, and then the other areas. We know that the staff is, they develop these projects and they present it to the board. Once these projects are developed, where the ad hoc committee can come in is they create grant summaries. And from these summaries, they're able to provide recommendations to either the staff or the board. So what specifically is a grant summary? It basically is taking all of the projects and pretty much coming out with a document which has the project name, synopsis, category, projected cost, allocation of funds, work timeline, kind of a schedule to let us know when it's shovel ready. The other good thing about a grant summary is it will have all of the information for our CIP projects, and it will be automatically something you can use to match with any grants. So all of the information you need to apply for a grant would be in your grant summary. And this way, the ad hoc committee, in working on these summaries, they will come up with items that may be missing. And this is where the recommendations will come up to the board. So for example, one recommendation would be we need an updated cost analysis based on the most recent, where we had that issue with our Water Smart grant, where the initial study was 15 years old. So when we did the updated study, the actual cost was almost double what we thought it would be. So, and any item that's missing from the grant can be added in, and that will help you for matching as you move forward. The main and heart of the ad hoc committee, which will save the staff a lot of time, is doing the research funding opportunities. Research funding opportunities can require being part of a lot of options. You can sign up for grants.gov, reviewing the state government, monitoring state and grant websites, listservs. There's also a lot of grant organizations that people can be part of. And this is a constant thing that they can be doing, not only as a committee, but this is done on their own time. So this is something that goes on along the whole time, and it frees up the staff from a great deal of this work. So the committee would be compiling lists, working on the grant funding levels, research on the grant history, so they can see what previous projects were done, which were successful projects, what was the scope of those projects, and what of the level of grant monies awarded. Look at the grant guidelines, look at the timing, work on the information from grant managers, get to work with and know a lot of the grant managers. Once these are done, you can match the projects. So this will be done with the ad hoc committee. And once these projects are matched, they will give their presentation to the staff. And this will all be coordinated with the grant manager, who is a staff level person as well. This is one example of how to match grants. This is how the city of Davis does it. And if you look on this chart, you can see all of the CIP projects are there on the top. Then there's the little dash line, which shows what grants they're eligible to be applied to. And it's done based on the timing. So you can track, all right, this grant is due in this season. So is this project going to be ready? It's going to be matched in, and we can apply for these grants. The other things that'll be able to be done with matching grants to projects is the funding, because if the funding isn't going to be significant enough for us to waste time with that grant, because some grants require a lot of extra commitment, and if it's costing money to get less money back from a grant, then it wouldn't be worth it. So this is one example of a fund matching process. Tracking grants. So tracking grants means not only tracking the actual grants once they're done, but also tracking grant opportunities. So there's a pre-track before it goes to application and a post-track. Some of the grant tracking opportunities, which are done by both staff and the committee, would be attending webinars, continue to review the guidelines, request any changes that need to be done. And then once those projects are matched and everything's tracked, will be an application. This is going to be done mainly by the staff, but at the director level, we can assist with tracking and timelines and managing the grant, because the main part of successful grant application is knowledge of the district. That's going to be at the highest level by the staff and the directors. So you can see this is the high level, which would be the director level. And the biggest part we can do as directors is work with those letters of support for the government. So as we send out, all right, here's a grant project that we're doing, and we would like the letters of support from our senators, from our assemblymen, board of supervisors. So these are the things that we can help the staff do at the director level. Now, this is my vision of the ad hoc committee. So we're looking at 1 to 2 board members. We're looking at expert volunteers. What I mean is we have minimum qualification where if we have volunteers, they are those that have expertise in grant writing, grant applications, grant submissions, and have done successful grant projects. And I could name off the top of my head, I know 4 individuals in the divide that have successfully written and been awarded multi-million grants. So there are plenty that we know in the fire district and have done stuff with schools. And so I know many of those as well, if they're able to volunteer for us. The other good part of the ad hoc committee, which is also project specific, will be partnership. This allows us to work with grant managers from other districts. So say EID, say Forest Hill, Grizzly Flat, other agencies, EDQA, LAFCO. So we are able to work with other partners and other agencies as well in combining projects and working on grants. The other thing is we also have DWR, State Water Resource Control Board. We've worked with them before with our, when it used to be called the Interregional Water Management, and that's how we got the CABI grant for the Upcountry Ditch. So project by project allows us to bring different partnerships and individuals in. The other best part of an ad hoc committee is it's a working committee. It does not need a Brown Act regulation to follow because it's ad hoc. So there's no Brown Act requirements. It doesn't require public board meetings, so they can actually get to work, even though things are still agendized, but it's really a working group, which we'd have to pretty much refresh annually as a board. So those are the best parts of the ad hoc committee. And as Adam mentioned, the staff time for each meeting would be limited. And the staff does not have to be at every one of the ad hoc committee meetings as well. So it also depends on where we are in the staff, in the grant tracking and management program. Most of these things is my plan is to have a giant, huge Gantt chart where the chart has all of the projects, plans, and tasks, which would be assigned to individuals where they can track and work with that. And also having that chart as well, we can share with the staff where they can use for their tracking of the grant as we move forward as well. And that was it for my presentation. Any questions from board members?
Hi, this is Director Halpin. I guess I'm very impressed with with your approach. In general terms, I'm a much bigger fan of ad hoc committees than I am of standing committees. I really like the idea of, and this would apply to grants and financing or special projects or fill in the blank, getting an ad hoc group of community experts who are highly focused on a task. I think that is a much more effective approach than the general standing committee approach to things. They have a mission, they have a timeline, they have a deliverable. All those things are music to my ears. So for grants, the only comment that I would make on it, from other past experience, making it a committee / working group so that it's very clearly not going to be encumbered by the Brown Act, because you completely defeat the purpose if you encumber it with the Brown Act. Yep. We can barely function ourselves. You put this on an ad hoc, put that encumbrance on an ad hoc committee, and you might as well just kill them in utero. It's horrible. Mm-hmm. So, you know, slash working group, I think it's a great idea for grants and other activities that we would like to get expert community involvement in. So that's just my 2 cents worth. Good job, Mike.
Director Wadley?
Yeah, I'd like to know a little bit more about the expert volunteers and that process.
So that would be putting something out in.
No, they would not have an agenda. No way.
So that would be putting something out and asking if there's anyone who would like to volunteer based on their, and specifically we could work together on coming up with what those minimum qualifications are. But mine would be that they have experience in writing grants and successfully applying for grants and have received the grant. And that's the minimum. And there are several people throughout the divide that I know have done that. People who have worked on the fire safe committees throughout the district who have done it. People that have worked with schools and have a lot of, there's a bunch of people throughout, so.
Wouldn't they be appointed by the board?
And that's what, so we can have a board appointment as well if we want to do that, but I would really like to make sure that we have an application process where they have to at least provide evidence of those minimum qualifications, because that's
both. That's an important, an application and a board review, because mm-hmm. Dane makes a very good point. We want to get people on there that meet the criteria of expert.
Yeah.
Well, I have a little bit of a different thought. I understand that the board, I think it should be like all committees in every district that I've worked with, and it's been a lot of them, they're board member committees and they're working with staff. So my recommendation, I understand that the board members are certainly going to talk to individuals in the community about this, and I have no problem with that. I do have a problem with memorializing it in a resolution. And what I'm hearing being said is that they're supposed to, these are expert volunteers are gonna be on the committee, and I don't agree with that. I think it should be that whereas that goes to board members to work with members of the public should be stricken, but totally understand that there is expertise in the community and that the one or the two board members who make up this grant committee would certainly talk to individuals, but it would not be memorialized in a formal resolution from the district, and that they would also not formally be members of the committee. And again, that's all the committees that I've seen, their board member committees and their staff committees. Understanding though that the committee,
let me just bring up this, I'll just bring back this one picture for us. So see where this dash is. So you basically recommended we move this dash to this side. So the committee's the board members and we had the partners and volunteers together.
Essentially, yeah, I think the committee, but there's not, in my view, I would not support there being an appointment by the board of committee of community members to an ad hoc committee. But again, understand, I think you're totally right that there are individuals in the community who have done this type of work. And certainly the committee members, whoever are committee members, whether it's you, someone else would be talking to those, totally get that, but not that they are on the committee. So I think, yes, to answer your question, it would just be, I guess, moving that. And then as I said, for the resolution purpose, to formally strike that whereas clause that's in there. But also agree, I mean, you've done quite a job on this. Appreciate that. You know the people, a lot of the people that can help move forward on this. I think it's a minor technicality that I'm kind of bringing up here, but I think it's a little bit clearer. But certainly nice job. Appreciate you bringing this forward.
Thank you, Director Wadley.
Director Saunders, may I say something?
Yes.
Along Dane's line, with no disrespect to Director Halpin, from a staff's perspective, would rather the ad hoc committee just work with the public and, you know, adding criteria to board agendas and going through all that process. I would rather have the ad hoc committee just deal with the public, I guess, is my request.
So Jeff, this is Director Halpin. You're agreeing that with Director Wadley's suggestion that that line be moved.
I don't follow the line.
Is that what you're suggesting?
Yeah, well, I don't quite follow the line, moving the line, but I think I agree with his sentiment just from a staff's perspective and looking at board agendas and having to reappoint people and having it just would I'd rather have the ad hoc committee just not have to have the staff agendize it and go through all
That's why it's an ad hoc. Yep. Mm-hmm. Definitely.
So I just to close that loop, I would fall in behind Dane's suggestion based on his recommendations and experience, even though I like it, you know, his modification improves it. Sign me up.
Yep. The only thing I want with that is the research part is something that you require a commitment for. So that's the only worry you have when you have people that are going to volunteer to do that. And if they're not part of the committee, you don't have that kind of extra build on them to make sure that they're going to do all this hard research and stuff. So that kind of gives it some weight so that they're going to work.
I don't know if I totally agree with that. I think there are lots of good people here who are willing to volunteer their time and step up on it and help out.
All right, Director Souza, did you have anything?
I don't think we need community members. Two board members, the staff. I know two people that live in Garden Valley and their expertise is in grant writing. I might recommend them, but
we'll just keep them with partners, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You might even know them, Mike. But let's keep it simple. We don't need community members to be involved. This will never get done.
Director Garcia.
Yeah. I appreciate you putting this work together, Mike. As I have written grants before and secured a couple of grants, not only for Department of Water Resources and some of our research projects, but for the chaplaincy program for some IT and when we needed new computers and new website coded. So I know how much upfront work and commitment it takes to doing the research to find the right grant that's applicable. And there's a lot of nuances with the grants. You have to be real careful and watch those details. And then you have to be timely with your submissions of your information in order to meet the deadlines well in advance in case there is some follow-up that you need to do because your paperwork that you submitted is somehow not sufficient. So I know how much commitment this takes. My concern is we ask some volunteers to help us out that have this expertise. If they're not on the committee, I don't know if they will want to volunteer. They may volunteer for a piece of a grant project and then they'll pull back. So what I would suggest maybe is what we do in moving forward is try first to see who these volunteers are that may be qualified and see what commitment level they're willing to make. And then we can poll them and ask them if it makes a difference if they're on the committee or not. Because maybe their time is so limited, they can't commit to a full committee. Maybe they can only commit to a piece of a part of a grant project. But it depends. There are some community members, a couple of them to help me out. They were very helpful. And I got a lot done in a short amount of time, thanks to her. These two ladies were amazing. And they were just volunteers here in the community that said they'd help me out. So there are community members out there willing to help, but how much they're willing to help and how dedicated they'll be to a committee, I'm just not sure of right now.
Okay. Let's see if anyone from the audience has any community comments from the public.
No, there is no one with a hand up.
Okay, that's good. Yep, I think using the community as partners, I think maybe that lets us even use more volunteers and members for different projects, so it can work going forward that way as well. Director Wadley?
I just prepared to make a motion. I make a motion to approve or to create the, sorry, I'm going back to your slide to see what the recommended, so forming an ad hoc committee, to appoint board members, but I would, again, as I said before, change the, for the resolution, I would strike the, not now, but just a second. No, thank you. Sorry, my coworker helping me. I strike the whereas clause that selected board members to work with members of the public to match and track grant opportunities. That's my motion.
I will make a second on that.
Okay, and before taking it to a vote, Kelly, I saw Stephen Dowd raised his hand. So if we can have the, Mr. Dowd's comments.
Yes. We had some great members on the Finance Committee that volunteered their efforts and their time. Maybe we could get some of the Finance Committee, the old Finance Committee members to volunteer to do this with the grants. They could help you guys out a lot. Thanks.
Thank you, Mr. Dapp. Any other public comment?
May I ask a question?
Yes.
Director Wadley, can you tell me which whereas you are suggesting that is striked again, please?
It's the third one down.
Third one down. Mm-hmm.
Okay, thank you.
So in effect, they will be not committee members, but we can still work with them as in the partner area. Okay, we will take a roll call vote. That was motion made by Director Wadley, seconded by Director. Was that Souza?
Yes.
Director Wadley?
Aye.
Director Souza?
Aye.
Director Garcia?
Aye.
Director Halpin?
Aye.
Director Saunders? Aye. So, next thing we will do, I guess we will
Thank you. Nice job.
So, decide on which members we'll do for the grant committee and when do we have to do that going forward, Jeff?
I think you could do it now or you can do it at the next meeting.
You guys, if you guys want to decide and deliberate who wants to be in the grant committee or if we want to vote on it now, it's up to you guys.
I decline.
I'll volunteer because I have expertise in doing this in grant writing and grant research.
And I was going to volunteer because I did a lot of the work for it, so I'd like to still be a part of it.
But I'll decline.
I was somewhat interested, but you guys, there's interest for you, Cindy and Mike, to go forth. That's all good with me.
Yeah, Dane. It is a lot of work, and I know how busy you are with being on the other boards, but if you're interested in as we move along, we can show you some of the pieces so that you can learn it. And there's going to be opportunities in the future.
Sure. Yeah, appreciate that.
Okay, so the next motion would be if someone would make a motion for
Director. Yeah, I'll make a motion to appoint Director Saunders and Director Garcia as the board members on the ad hoc grant support committee. Advisory committee. Yes, sorry, I missed that last one.
Dave Souza, I'll second.
All right. Roll call vote. Director Wadley?
Aye.
Director Souza?
Aye.
Director Garcia?
Aye.
Director Halpin?
Aye.
And Director Saunders? Aye. So we will get to work on that immediately.
Absolutely.
We have a lot of projects that we would like to get funded.
Yes.
Okay. Next item is consideration and proposed approval of professional service agreement with Gloria Omani. Omania?
Yes. As most of you or all of you know, Ms. Omania has been supporting the district for a few years now. She's very talented. She has experience in grant writing and she has experience in political advocacy. She has been working with George on the ALT water treatment plant project closeout. Going back to the grant committee, I think, you know, we talked about this, Director Saunders, I think she'd be an asset to the grant committee. She has also helped me with different documents. Her billing rate is significantly less than me, so I try to give her things that I think she can handle. So I don't do it and save the district some money there. So I can focus on other things. She also has she has a lot of experience with other types of contracts, so she can help with contract management on other capital improvement projects. And I'm asking her to help develop a records management protocol for the district. So I am asking you to approve the professional services agreement for Ms. Amania as it's presented in the board packet.
Board discussion? Director
Yeah, I for one am thrilled to see that Gloria's willing to come back and help us out. She's been nothing but reliable and dependable. Her communication skills are excellent. Her work skills are excellent. She's been a asset to the district. So I think that I'm all, and she'd be just another great member of the team that we've already got to help us get a lot more done in a short amount of time.
Director Wadley?
Yeah, I was just going to second that. Absolutely. I'm prepared to make a motion to approve staff's recommendation.
All right. Director Halpin or Souza, have any comments?
We love Gloria.
Yep. Director Halpin?
I mean, my comment, I absolutely agree with everything Cindy said. In general terms, and from my own business experience, I'm a big fan of using contract labor, applying it where needed. And she's seems like an excellent example of that working well. And I would certainly support the motion to bring her on board.
Yep, she's been a great asset. She's worked in almost every position with us, and she's been a great board clerk. She's been a great
Maybe we can get her to run for a director.
Yeah, pretty much. She's been keeper of the loans for ALT. She's done so much work for the distance community outreach. So, yep, we all love her, and we're so glad that we can keep her on again if we so choose. So let's see if there's any public comments.
Sorry. Yes.
Can I make a comment,
Mr. Doubt? Mr. Doubt?
Yeah, I was wondering, can she be an independent contractor because of the law that was passed last year for this situation, instead of being hired as a staff worker?
She's hired as an independent consultant.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Any other public comments?
Gloria would like to say something.
Yep, Gloria.
Well, I would like to thank you all for all of your generous and kind comments. It has been an honor and a pleasure to work with the board and to be a part of this awesome district team for the past 4 years. So I'm looking forward to continuing.
Careful, Gloria, they haven't voted yet.
I know.
Can you make that a cashier's check for me, please? Put tape shoes on top.
All right, we'll look for a motion.
I'll make a motion to approve staff's recommendation. Thank you, Gloria. Appreciate it.
I'll second you that.
All right, so we had the motion by Director Wadley, seconded by Director Garcia. All right, roll call vote. Director Wadley?
Aye.
Director Garcia?
Aye.
Director Halpin?
Aye.
Director Souza?
Aye, as long as I get a free dinner.
And Director Saunders, aye.
Seems fair.
Congratulations and welcome aboard again, Gloria.
Thank you, directors.
Next item is a public hearing, establishment of appropriations limit. This is our Prop 4.
Christina, do you want to handle this one?
I think it's up to the board. They just have to open the hearing, and it's the limits have been set within what the county says. So I think it's kind of up to them, right, Barbara?
Yeah, it's a hearing. You open it up for the hearing, and
so I will now open up the hearing for the appropriations limit, and we will take any public comments if there are any.
There are no public comments.
Yep, Director Garcia.
Mm-hmm. For the recording and for those that aren't participating on today's meeting, I'd like to go ahead and read the limits so that they're into the minutes. The limit for the fiscal year 2021 is calculated to be $2,009,025. The district is compliant with the appropriation limit because the estimated general tax revenue for fiscal year 2021 is $1,760,000, which is considerably less than the limit. Copy of the resolution, and it'll be dated whatever today is, 2020 in the date, or excuse me, the number, is included as attachment 2. Thank you.
Thank you. Yep. So we will be considering the limit of $1,760,000.
No, you consider the limit, which is the limit. Number.
Yep. Which is going to be less than the expected total of $2,909,025, which is the calculated limit.
The limit is $2,909,000.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. You need to close the public hearing, Barb.
Yes.
All right. We close the public hearing.
I'll make a motion to approve the resolution. Adopt the resolution. Excuse me.
Dave Souza, second.
The Director Wadley.
Do we need to take public comment on these, on the hearing?
The hearing is the opportunity for the public to comment.
Okay.
And the hearing's now closed.
And the second was by Director Souza?
Yes.
Roll call vote. Director Wadley?
Aye.
Director Souza?
Aye.
Director Garcia?
Aye.
Director Halpin?
Aye.
Director Saunders? Aye. So this is basically the property taxes that we can take in, and this is money that needed for our budget. And now we will go to if there's any director comments or requests for additional future meeting agenda items?
I have none at this time.
Okay, Director Halpin?
I have none at this time.
Director Souza?
Not at this time.
Director Garcia?
I have one request for Board President Souza and the General Manager, and that is on the August meeting agenda, if we add the emergency notification system for discussion. I'd also like to add on their request for emails from the customers so that we can build our email notification system up from 400 to the 3,700 customers we have, see if we can build that up. We're coming upon fire season here, and we're all a little concerned about how dry it is already with the hot weather. So I'd like to maybe talk about some emergency notification systems and how we might want to do a better job of notifying in case of an emergency, which would be something beyond our very limited email list that we currently have. That's all I have.
I kind of agree with that, and also work on strategies to increase our email, because especially when we have Tyler Technologies is coming up to soon be online, which will be more robust than allowing that email utilization. We're at 1/10 of the customers that we're able to contact that way, especially moving forward with automatic meters and other issues in the future. To be able to have these emails is gonna really help staff with communicating a lot easier.
I'd like to suggest that we reach out for the email notifications once our utility billing is up and going for Tyler, because that is something that we can send out to these customers when they're setting up a new account. I just shy away from making them sign up for something multiple times, so it might be best to do that more towards the end of the year.
Mm-hmm. And that you said that would be about December when the utility billing module will be up?
They're shooting for the week of Christmas.
Okay. Hey, there's our Christmas bonus right there. Okay. Thank you, Christina.
This is Director Halpin. If I could just share a few comments on it, based on experience that I've had personally. I certainly think an expanded email list is a great idea, and we should do everything we could to expand that. I would share the experience of ALT on the emergency notification. We went to great lengths to try to expand ours. And in fact, last year we had a fire in ALT. And it turned out we had set some kind of expectation that the ALT would be able to provide emergency notifications and emergency response directives, if you will. And when the emergency came, ALT was woefully inadequate and unprepared and did not have any of the authority necessary to direct an emergency response. So consequently, lots of our customers, which would in our case be GFUD customers, contacted us looking for some direction. And they were sorely disappointed when they were, directed to the guard shack, where a part-time minimum wage person didn't actually have the answers they were hoping for. And there was a huge, disappointment between the expectations that we had set as a community with the very best of intentions and our ability to deliver on those commitments. So now, in response to that, our emergency response has been reduced to, when you call us, we point you to the county's Office of Emergency Response, who is very competent and has the authority to provide the appropriate information. So having had that experience of setting out a lot of effort with the best of intentions and it turning out very different than we had hoped for, we should at least be mindful that GPUD's ability to manage an emergency pass out advice is fraught with problems and liabilities.
That's not our role. Yep, I agree with you totally, Director Halpin.
Right, so I just share that with you. We have to be a little bit careful there. We don't have anybody working at our district, from directors down to the most lowly employee, that has the authority or ability to manage an emergency response.
I'm also not thinking of emergencies like that. I'm thinking of like emergencies that we had last time, where there might have been the call to conserve water because we were worried about a tank, things like that, where we have to get all the customers at once. So
those agreed. Are within our purview, that's terrific. Mm-hmm. But we don't want to set this experience any expectation beyond that, because at least I'm just sharing an experience. We did that and it did not turn out well for ALT.
Director Halpin, these are awesome pieces of information that you have to offer, because this is exactly why I wanted on the agenda for a board to discuss, to bring back our expertise, our lack of expertise, our experiences, so that we can come up with a system that works best for the district and works within the district budget. The one I was thinking of would be an opt-in type of a notification system for those people who had, you know, coverage in this area, you know, on their cell phones, so they could be opt-in, so we could blast out a notice that says, we'd like you to conserve water from this period to this period for these reasons, something like that. But yeah, definitely something that is well within our purview of districts, as we are not first responders. We don't want to be first responders. So we would definitely need to talk about expectations for a system. And if you do an opt-in, then people don't have to be forced into something they don't want to be a part of.
Agree with you that it's a good discussion to have at a board meeting and set the our expectations and the community expectations. Better to discuss it in advance. I agree with you completely.
So this will be a discussion item, is what you're suggesting?
Jeff, if it's acceptable and agreeable to you and President Souza, what I'll do is send you an email and give you some language, and then you can put it on the agenda. We can do a discussion, that's great. If we come to direction for staff, that's great. I'd just like to see if we can do something entering fire season, especially.
Okay. Sounds good.
Any other comments or discussions?
Not for me. Thank you.
Thank everybody for being here during this COVID time. We have a motion to close our meeting and adjourn.
Before you do that, Mike, you can have the president's wages for today. So thank you.
Thank you.
I will thank you.
Yeah, Mike, you did a great job.
Yeah, all right. I'll write you a check. $2
to my coffee cup. Thank you very much.
Good job, Mike.
Do I have a motion to adjourn?
A motion.
Second?
I'll second Dave's motion to adjourn.
All right. And this is the one time we could go with the Dave Souza. All in favor?
Aye.
Passes, we adjourn. Thank everybody for coming.
Thanks, everybody. Stay cool.
Thank you. Yep. Thank you, Jeff, Kelly, and Christina.
Yep. Thank you all.
Thanks. Good seeing you again, Gloria. Thanks, Barbara.